Praise the Lord. Thank you for coming to church this morning. So good to be in his house. Amen. Lease on life. A new lease on life. I'm sure we've heard the saying that we are familiar with the line. Like the operation has given a new lease on life. This medicine gives patients a new lease on life. Recovery from illness, a new lease on life. Or this, if you say that someone or something has been given a new lease on life, you are emphasizing that they are much more lively or successful than they have been in the past. Or if someone or something is given a new lease on life, something makes them successful once again or improves their condition. A chance to improve one's situation or to live longer or more happily. There have been those that have been granted, given a new lease on life. There are those even now that are pining, longing, yearning, crying out for a new lease on life. Whatever it is, whatever the circumstances, whatever the reason, whatever the reasons, desperate for a new lease on life. There lived a king, King Hezekiah, a king who knew victory, a king who knew the deliverance of God, the miraculous deliverance of God. Chapter 37 of the book of Isaiah records the assurance of deliverance, the threat, and Hezekiah's prayer, the word of the Lord concerning the enemy, and Sennacherib's, the enemy's defeat and death. There lived a king. A man of renown, a man of wealth. Life was on the up. Things were going well. Until there lived a king. The king, just off the crest of victory, still drinking in the victory. And we turn the page to chapter 38, Isaiah 38, verse 1. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. The NLT, about that time, Hezekiah became deathly ill. Holman Christian Standard Bible, in those days, Hezekiah became terminally ill. In the Message paraphrase, at that time, Hezekiah got sick. He was about to die. Renown couldn't aid the king. Wealth couldn't aid the king. And here, time spent in death's waiting room. Isaiah 38, 1, in those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." I mean, what to do? What do you do? Try remedy? Try drugs? Try procedure? Consult physicians? Contact surgeons? Holman Christian Standard Bible, in those days, Hezekiah became terminally ill. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, came and said to him, "This is what the Lord says. Put your affairs in order." Literally, command your house. "For you are about to die. You will not recover." What to do? What do you do? Isaiah 38, verses 2 to 3. "Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord and said, 'Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, whole, peaceful, and have done what is good in your sight.' And Hezekiah wept bitterly." This is one way to put your house in order. One way to put your affairs in order. The king turned his face toward the wall. The king is praying to the Lord, praying and wailing, weeping at the wall. "Remember, Lord. Remember. Remember now, O Lord, I pray." Although not a true fit, I can hear the words of the king of Nineveh. "Who can tell if God will turn and relent so that we may not perish?" There lived a king. Was this the end? The king turned his face toward the wall. The king is praying. The king is weeping. The message reads, "At that time Hezekiah got sick. He was about to die. The prophet Isaiah visited him and said, 'God says, prepare your affairs and your family. This is it. You're going to die. You're not going to get well.' Hezekiah turned away from Isaiah and facing the wall prayed to God, 'God, please, I beg you, remember how I lived my life. I've lived faithfully in your presence, lived out of a heart that was totally yours. You've seen how I've lived. You've seen the good I have done.' And Hezekiah wept as he prayed." Painful tears. Turn. Pray to God. Weep as you pray. Though these be painful tears. This is what faith looks like. This is the manner of faith, the flow of faith, the fire of faith, the cry of faith in a midnight hour. Turning and praying and weeping as you pray. Painful tears. Believing in the power of God. Trusting in the deliverance of God. Believing in the mercy and grace of God. Believing in the miraculous. I know that sometimes it is the end. And let God be God. The ultimate healing we know is glory. And yet, we believe all the way to glory. Isaiah 38, 3 to 4. "Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and have done what is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly, and the word of the Lord came to Isaiah. The word of the Lord came. You know, the man needed a word. He needed a word from the Lord. He needed the word of the Lord. What could it be? What would it be? Verses 4 to 8, "And the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, saying, 'Go and tell Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears Surely I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this is the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing which he has spoken. Behold, I will bring the shadow on the sundial, which has gone down with the sun on the sundial of Ahaz 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees on the dial by which it had gone down. The Message paraphrase, and this is your confirming sign, confirming that I, God, will do exactly what I have promised. Watch for this. As the sun goes down and the shadow lengthens on the sundial of Ahaz, I'm going to reverse the shadow 10 notches on the dial. And that's what happened. The declining sun's shadow reversed 10 notches on the dial. A king lives. You know, it pays to live right. Faithfully. Out of a heart that's totally his. To do good. To do God. To do what's godly and right. To have some rapport with the Almighty. It pays to live right. And now we're writing. A king lives. What might pour from the vessel? Isaiah 38, we pick it up at verse 9. A writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, after his illness and recovery. I said, in the prime of my life, must I go through the gates of death and be robbed of the rest of my years? I said, I will not again see the Lord himself in the land of the living. No longer will I look on my fellow man or be with those who now dwell in this world. Like a shepherd's tent, my house has been pulled down and taken from me. Like a weaver, I've rolled up my life, and he has cut me off from the loom. Day and night you made an end of me. I waited patiently till dawn, but like a lion he broke all my bones. Day and night you made an end of me. I cried like a swift or thrush. I moaned like a mourning dove. My eyes grew weak as I looked to the heavens. I am being threatened. Lord, come to my aid. But what can I say? He has spoken to me, and he himself has done this. I will walk humbly all my years because of this anguish of my soul. Lord, by such things people live, and my spirit finds life in them too. You restored me to health and let me live. Surely it was for my benefit that I suffered such anguish. Let it sink. In your love, you kept me. From the pit of destruction, you've put all my sins behind your back. For the grave cannot praise you. Death cannot sing your praise. Those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your faithfulness. The living, they praise you as I am doing today. Parents, tell their children about your faithfulness. Tell them. Do tell them. The Lord will save me. And we will sing with stringed instruments all the days of our lives in the temple of the Lord. Lord, come to my aid. I need you, God. I will walk humbly all my years. Surely it was for my benefit that I suffered such anguish. What a line. Lord, save me. And we will sing with stringed instruments all the days of our lives in the temple of the Lord. A king lives. We pick up the history, 2 Kings 20, 7 to 11. Then Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. So they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And Hezekiah said to Isaiah, had asked Isaiah, what is a sign that the Lord will heal me, that I shall go up to the house of the Lord the third day? Then Isaiah said, "This is the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing which he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go backward 10 degrees?" Hezekiah answered, "It is an easy thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. No, but let the shadow go backward 10 degrees. So Isaiah the prophet cried out to the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward by which it had gone down on the sundial of Ahaz. A lease on life. A new lease on life. How do you live? How do you walk? How do you spend these God-given days? I mean, God just gave you 15 years. Leased life. Walk humbly, King. Walk as God would have you walk. Hold to truth. Hold to loyalty. Do what's good. Yes, walk before the Lord in truth and with a loyal heart, and do what is good in his sight. Fitting for all days, not just the days when one's been granted a new lease on life. And is it not as if all life is leased? There is a God. There is a Creator. He is omnipotent, he is supreme, and he grants life. He gifts life. He gives life. Well, I think I'll be conceived now. You know, I think I'll come alive now. I think I'll be born now. I think I'll live life now. Psalm 31:15, my times are in your hand. Sovereign one. Psalm 90, verse 10, our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. Psalm 90, verse 12, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Psalm 139, 16, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written. The days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. You know, one cries, my life is my own. It's my life. Oh, for an opening of the eyes. And for Christian perspective, there lives a king with a new lease on life. 2 Kings 20, pick it up at verse 12. At that time, Berodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, Babylonian envoy, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah was attentive to them and showed them all the house of his treasures, the silver and the gold, the spices and precious ointment, and all his armory, all that was found among his treasures. There was nothing in his house or in all his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them. Then Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah and said to him, "What did these men say? And from where did they come to you?" So Hezekiah said, "They came from a far country, from Babylon." And he said, "What have they seen in your house?" So Hezekiah answered, "They have seen all that is in my house. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them." Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. And they will take away some of your sons who will descend from you, whom you will beget, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." So Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "The word of the Lord which you have spoken is good." For he said, "Will there not be peace and truth, at least in my days?" Now the rest of the acts of Hezekiah, all his might, and how he made a pool and a tunnel and brought water into the city, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? So Hezekiah rested with his fathers. He died and joined his ancestors. Then Manasseh, his son, reigned in his place. The Message paraphrase. Merodach Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, having heard that the king was sick, sent a get-well card and a gift to Hezekiah. Hezekiah was pleased and showed the messengers around the place, all around the place, silver, gold, spices, aromatic oils, his stockpile of weapons, a guided tour of all his prized possessions. There wasn't a thing in his palace or kingdom that Hezekiah did not show them. And then Isaiah the prophet showed up. And just what were these men doing here? Where did they come from and why? Hezekiah said they came from far away, from Babylon. And what did they see in your palace? Everything. Said Hezekiah, "There isn't anything. I didn't show them. I gave them the grand tour." Then Isaiah spoke to Hezekiah, "Listen what God has to say about this. The day is coming when everything you own and everything your ancestors have passed down to you, right down to the last cup and saucer, will be cleaned out of here. Plundered and packed off to Babylon." Can't you hear the Spirit today? God's word. "Worse yet, your sons, the progeny of your sons, the sons you've begotten will end up as eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." Fruitless. There lived a king with a new lease on life. 15 years, and God didn't cut it short. But look what happened. Look what took place. Look what this king with a new lease on life did. Look at what he set in motion. And the ramifications on and for and in the next generation, a next generation. Careful now, patriarch. Full of care now. A get-well card. A gift. Come, take the grand tour. Come. I'll guide the tour. He showed the messengers of the enemy all around his place. Silver, gold, spices, aromatic oils, his stockpile of weapons, all his armory. Insanity. The prophet showed up. Just what were these men doing here? Where did they come from and why? Foolish. Fool of a man. Beware the get well card and present. Beware who it's from. They came from Babylon and they saw everything. There wasn't anything he didn't show them. He gave them the grand tour. What do you have to say, Hezekiah? No. What does God have to say? Listen to what God has to say about this. The words of David Wilkerson, Hezekiah, the man who beat a death rap. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Then Hezekiah prayed to the Lord. He was a king riding the crest of victory, delivered miraculously by God from King Sennacherib's army. He was wealthy and renowned when sickness struck, bringing him to the brink of death. The prophet warned, "Get ready to die, it's all over for you." But the king loved life and, turning his face to the wall, cried and prayed to the Lord for a new lease on life. God heard, and God gave him 15 more years. But how should a man live who has won over death? As so many do who survive a close call with death, should he not live each day gratefully, giving himself humbly to God and mankind? But the way of human flesh is not so. The king began to glory in his own worth. He sank in the mud of materialism, parading his treasures before foreigners. A second message by the prophet was sounded of judgment on his posterity for pride and ingratitude. And how many today have been given a new lease on life only to spend their borrowed years in selfish pursuit of things which have no value? Eternity will reveal. It would have been better for some to die than to beat the death rap. Second Chronicles 32:31, regarding the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, whom they sent to him to inquire about the wonder that was done in the land. God withdrew from him in order to test him, that he might know all that was in his heart. Testing heart and devotion. You see, he opened his heart to pride to show his accomplishments. There lived a king with a new lease on life. There died a king who had a new lease on life. 2 Kings 20, verse 19, "The word of the Lord you have spoken is good," Hezekiah replied, for he thought, "Will there not be peace and security in my lifetime? My Lord, dear God." The NLT, "Then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, 'This message you have given me from the Lord is good.'" For the king was thinking, "At least there'll be peace and security during my lifetime." He was really thinking, the Living Bible, "At least there will be peace and security during the remainder of my own life." The Amplified Classic then said, "Hezekiah to Isaiah, 'The word of the Lord you've spoken is good,' for he thought, 'Is it not good if all this evil is meant for the future and peace and security shall be in my days? My Lord.'" Verse 21 in the voice, "Hezekiah left this world to sleep with his father." Life. Leased life. A lease on life. A new lease on life. Think of a vehicle. Leasing a vehicle. You know, when you lease a vehicle, the leasing company, lessor, retains ownership of the vehicle throughout the entire term. You are lessee. Yes, it's my life. but it's not my life. My life is not my own, cries the Christian. I'm the, you see, and with this comes responsibility, and with this comes opportunity. Holding the right to use and operate the car, but I don't own it. End of lease. When the lease expires, you must return the vehicle unless you choose to exercise a purchase option, you know, to buy it. I remember years ago now, buying out a vehicle after a lease term. I, for whatever reason, negated sending in the proper documentation to the insurance company until it was corrected, stating I was now the owner. Every time I went to register the vehicle, it still stated the previous that it was leased. I tried to park the vehicle during the winter months to take insurance off of it, and there was no letting me because the vehicle was still stated as being leased. Well, there's no buying out this lease. He will always be the lessor. And don't go to hell for a loan. No help, no funds, no currency with God. How should a man live who has won over death? How should a woman live who has won over death, who's been given a new lease on life? One who's been given a new lease on life. And we know that in Jesus, because of Jesus, we are given a new lease on life. Concerning all, whatever the new lease speaks to this day, how should we live? No doubt there would be many answers. What does God have to say? God, how should I live? Should we not live each day gratefully, giving ourselves humbly to God and mankind? But the way of human flesh, may we never begin to glory in our own worth, sink in the mud of materialism, parade our treasures before foreigners. Our armory, and these are just some examples, those lines. How many today have been given a new lease on life only to spend their borrowed years in selfish pursuit of things which have no value? Eternity will reveal it would have been better for some to die rather than beat the rap. May it not be. May it never be that eternity reveals it would have been better for us to die than to beat the rap. Ever heard the saying, living on borrowed time? Leasing life. Life lease. Life is my own. Is that the condition of this term? Doesn't end well. And we can't pay the debt at the end, even if we've somehow managed to pay the lease along the way. The lease runs out, and then there's a debt to pay. Perhaps we feel we can handle the payments, and the payment structure right now, even the interest. And for the allotted weeks and months and years, even decades. Folly of humanity. But what? When the lease runs out, what when the term is over? Can't just turn this in. There's a debt to pay. And there's an eternity. Only Jesus can pay the debt. There simply is no other way. There simply is no other option. There simply is no other answer. Colossians 2, 13 to 14, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. New lease on life. How should you live? Well, I think Christian life looks like this. We'll submit that to God and see what he says. The next person, I like what you think Christian life is like. You want to see my definition of Christian life? This is how someone with a new lease on life should live. Submit it to God. What does God think? The Amplified Bible, having canceled out the certificate of debt, refers to a debtor's handwritten note acknowledging the debt, consisting of legal demands which were in force against us and which were hostile to us. And this certificate he has set aside and completely removed by nailing it to the cross. There can be an announcement concerning our debt today. Your debt this day. John 19:30, he said, "It is finished." Jesus said, "It is finished." You know, spiritually speaking, God can give you a new lease on life. God will give you a new lease on life. Turn! Pray to God. Weep as you pray, though these be painful tears. You're like, I'm not sure what to pray. Lord, come to my aid. Lord, I need Jesus. Forgive me of all my wrongdoing, of all my sin. Wash me in the precious blood of Jesus. I surrender. I choose to follow. I will walk humbly all my years. Lord, save me, and I will sing all the days of my life in the temple of the Lord. Jesus, I give you my life. And physically speaking, I know that God gives new leases on life. He's a miracle God. A merciful God, a God of answer, a God of life. Remember, Lord. Remember now, O Lord, I pray. You know, he's even merciful to those with no remembrance. Merciful to those that have no track record with God, no rapport with the Almighty. They've lived a trash life. They have no bank account with God. They have nothing, empty pockets. And they walk into a church, and God heals them. And how many have I seen that have walked into a church bankrupt? They got nothing. They have no history of good life or living. They're not even saved, and God performs a physical miracle, and they're healed, and they're given a new lease on life. And they just stroll out the door. Thank you. It's all I need the church for right now. It's all I need God for right now. I can walk again. I can breathe again. It's all I need you for, God. I might have to come back to see Dr. Jesus at some other point, but that's all I need you for. Thank you. Thanks for the operation. Thanks for fixing me. It's amazing how merciful he is. You know, I think of those that have cried out to God in a time when they needed a real touch. And they made vows. They said, like, I'll walk humbly all my life. Even vows like, I'll go to church on Sundays, God. Lord, I'll follow, I'll try. And then they get healed, and guess what? They follow through for a little while, and then they forget the vows. These vows are binding upon us. It's better not to vow than to vow and not fulfill. God gave me 15 years, but he only gave me 15 years. I mean, that's not enough. How can I get through the list of everything I want to do in 15 years? I gotta go. I gotta live my life. How should one live? To whom God's given a new lease on life. We must never sublease a lease of a property by a tenant to a subtenant. Another term for sublet. A lease by a tenant of part or all of leased premises to another person, but with the original tenant retaining some right or interest under the original lease. You know, it doesn't work like that. It's a fool's life. It brings us to ruin. Don't give even a foothold. The lease on life that God has given, we must cherish. We must cherish. It still just blows my mind that that's in the book. This king gets a new lease on life, and then he's not living like he should. And the prophet comes and says, this is what's going to happen in the next generation. And the king's like, as long as I have peace in my day. Everything you have, king. Everything your family has accumulated up till now, think about it, let the Spirit speak, up till now, will be carried away to Babylon. And the king's like, as long as there's peace in my day, be careful now. You know, I don't know if once we're up there, we can look down. Peer in life. But imagine at the end of your life, you look down and you see everything that your family had accumulated up to that point. You see your sons and your daughters in Babylon. Because you didn't live right. Now, if they choose that for themselves, that's one thing. But careful now. Full of care now. Let's have the worship ministry return. I am sure there are those in this place today that can testify that God has given them a new lease on life. spiritually speaking, of course, but physically speaking, there are those in this room. I know there are those in this room. God gave you more days. It should have been over. Even those that had absolutely incurable diseases, those that there was no answer, there was no hope for you. But God gave you a new lease on life. It should have been over. Miracle touch. God spared your life. Thank you, Lord. And now let us remember, if we need God, if we need a touch from God, Lord, come to my aid. I will walk humbly all my years. Lord, save me, and I will sing with stringed instruments all the days of my life. We will sing all the days of our lives in the temple of the Lord. Let us remember. Let us remember. The Lord came to my aid. I desire, and I must walk humbly all my years. The Lord saved me, and I will sing all the days of my life in the temple of the Lord. If you're here today and you need a new lease on life, you've come to the right place. For God is in this place. Hey, Hezekiah, your name. It means Jehovah is my strength. The might of Jehovah. Jesus is my strength, the might of Jesus. Don't forget. Don't forget that Jehovah is your strength, the might of Jehovah. Whole life. I don't know about you, but I want to live my whole life on life support. I'm not talking about the life support in the hospital. I'm talking about life support. A lot of people are praying to get off life support, you know what I'm saying? Or praying for others to get off life support. But I know that I'm dead in the water without Jesus. I'm dead in the water without his book. I'm dead in the water without his principles, with his commandments, without his church. I'm dead in the water. And you know what? Without some religion back in the religion, you know what I'm saying? I remember a time we sang all these songs like, break down the walls of religion. We don't want any religion. We just want a bloody free-for-all. Bring it back. Bring it back. Bring it back. Because I see a generation. Can you see the future? Ask God to open your eyes. What one generation tolerates, the next generation embraces. The form of Christianity that one generation tolerates. See, each must choose for themselves. Especially parents. You know, when you're a parent and you're choosing for little ones, are you choosing right? Like today, sit down and write out your definition of Christianity, what it looks like. Don't submit it to your son or daughter unless they're smarter than you. But take it and place it before God honestly and say, Lord, you do what you do, okay? Don't write it in pen, write it in pencil. God's got a big old eraser. And if he says it ain't good, rip it up and say, author, come. You write. He is the author and the finisher, isn't he? I don't know about you, but I've tried to take God's big old pen and write with it. It doesn't work so well. Terrible. I can't even tell what I wrote. God of life, God of living. Well, let's stand in the house today. If you need prayer for anything, please feel free to make your way to the front. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, listen, you need a new lease on life. You need God to touch you. Only Jesus can pay the debt. Jesus paid the price. He gave his life for you because he loves you. The love of our Father, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son.